on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
It's Friday, our Friday financial update each week with Brian Cochran, and we're going to have a series of discussions each week, letting you know things to consider as we head towards the end of the year. Brian, kind of an annual thing to do, but looking forward to hearing the different things we should all consider as far as our finances go as we approach 2025.
Yeah, it's a great time of year to be intentional about your money. I guess any time of year is a great time to be intentional about your stewardship, but we're coming upon some end-of-year deadlines, so we want to be smart about, you know, the strategies we have and not miss those end-of-year deadlines. And, yeah, we can talk each week about maybe a different category to consider.
All right. Where shall we start this week?
Well, let's start with the most fun end-of-year deadline, and that's deadlines related to your charitable giving. And charitable giving is one of the primary ways most folks look to save on maybe their income taxes. So we as believers, obviously, we give for other reasons, but living in the world, we have to also acknowledge the tax code and the deadlines associated. So a lot of times in December, we see a lot of additional charitable giving. We encourage the families we serve to be wise and generous all year round. So a lot of our clients don't do extra giving in December, but if you look at giving patterns around the country, we know some organizations might get anywhere between 50 and 90% of their charitable gifts here in the fourth quarter, and you know, as people just look at their end of year planning. So, Steve, there's a couple ways to think of charitable giving. Most people give cash when they give charitable gifts, not always physical cash, obviously, as greenbacks, but actually looking at checks they might write to their favorite charities. And while there's certainly nothing wrong with that, for many of the families we serve and for many folks out there, just writing checks may not be the best way to give.
So what are some maybe unthought of or unique ways to consider doing that?
Yeah, so the first thing we look at with a lot of families that is very relevant for some people this year is to give appreciated assets. So what does that mean? For most clients we work with, that would look like giving an appreciated stock. So let's say you bought shares of a company back in January or last year sometime, and it's been a good year in the markets. If you've held that stock for a year or more, you can actually donate shares of a stock directly to a charity. And when you do that, you get to write off or use an itemized deduction for the full fair market value of that stock. But you also do not have to pay the capital gains that you otherwise would incur if you sold the stock yourself. So for me, my biggest pet peeve is that someone might sell shares of a highly appreciated stock and then give some of it to charity. So they pay a capital gain and then give the proceeds. There's a dual tax benefit if you just give that stock directly. So if you own stock and you have stocks that are doing well, give them away. And some people say, well, I really like that stock. Well, what we'll do then is we'll give away some of the most appreciated shares that you own. And then you can use cash you otherwise would have given to buy back that stock. So you retain your ownership, but now you've reset your ownership at a higher basis, meaning that you'll pay less tax if you sell it down the line. So giving appreciated stock would be the first thing I would consider. And a lot of people do that not directly to charities, but they do it through a tool called a donor-advised fund. A donor-advised fund is like a charitable checking account where you put assets in there and then you can distribute. And the benefit of that, Steve, is that if you put your stocks in a donor-advised fund, you can sell the stocks there. You don't have to pay tax on the gain. And then you can distribute the proceeds of the sale across many charities, and you can even do it anonymously. So a pretty powerful tool.
Now, Brian, do you ever come up against objections from clients or others that are concerned, you know, about, well, that's being a little sneaky of me to go this route where I'm not paying taxes?
I have not run into any clients that object to paying tax, Steve. and we are very careful, Steve. We don't participate in any tax gray areas, if you will. So this type of giving is not something that is questioned by the IRS or anything like that. You do always want to keep good records when you're making gifts like this. So you will get records from whoever receives the gift. So you want to retain those records in case the IRS performs an audit and questions your giving. But this type of a method is not something that's a gray area by any means, and it's a very common approach. The second option that's really common, Steve, is for our clients that are over age 70 and a half. That is the cutoff where you can start to donate dollars directly from your IRA, so a retirement account, to your favorite charity. And giving IRA dollars this way is really the only way to get money out of your IRA without incurring tax. So, Steve, when you and I retire someday, if we want to take money out of our retirement accounts, you have a 403B, I have a 401K at my work, if I take money out of that, money that I put in pre-tax, I will have to pay income tax on that on the way out. If my heirs inherit my IRA, they will pay income tax as that money comes out. So this ability to send money directly to a charity from your IRA, it's called a qualified charitable distribution, or QCD. The ability to do a QCD is a special opportunity, as you can directly give that money to charity. And here's the beauty. Steve, if you're over 73 now, you have to take money out of your IRA each year. And if you don't require that distribution from your IRA as income to help support your lifestyle, you may not want to pay tax on that. Well, you can give it you can give money directly to a charity, and that satisfies the IRS requirement that you take money from your IRA, but you don't show that money as income. So you don't even have to itemize your deduction in this case. It just never appears on your income tax return as a distribution, a taxable distribution, I should say. So if I'm 73 and I have my first year that I have to take money from my IRA, and let's say based on the calculation that's run every year, I have to take out $10,000, I could give any percentage of that to charity, and that would help satisfy that requirement, but I would not pay income tax on those dollars. So it's a pretty special tax opportunity for folks who qualify.
Is this, and you know, both of these that we've gone over so far, appreciated stock, and you know, if you're over 70, donations from your IRA, and opportunities to give gifts without, you know, paying the taxes that you'd normally take when you withdraw, you know, is there a low percentage of people that are doing this? You know, are most people that regularly give pretty aware?
I find that most people are not aware of these alternative strategies for giving. So it's often only when they work with a financial professional who is trained in these methods, or, you know, a good tax advisor, that people take advantage. Most giving in this country still happens just with checks written or credit card transactions, traditional cash giving, which is kind of interesting, Steve, when you think about it, because most assets that we own as Americans are not cash. It's real estate, it's stocks, other appreciated assets, business interests. So it's interesting that we do so much of our giving out of cash when there's actually more tax advantages to give out of these other places, whether it's your IRA, your appreciated stocks. And we actually even have clients where we help them give a percentage of their corporation, their small business, to charity. So those are better tax advantages, and it's actually where most of the wealth is. So we always try to open people's eyes to this concept of what we call asset-based giving.
Any other unique ideas for giving at the end of the year?
The other strategy I'd mentioned quickly is the idea of bunching. So what is bunching? So if you are a cash giver, or you want to give appreciated stock, what we find is a lot of people can't actually get a tax benefit for that. And the reason for that, Steve, is that the standard deduction went up significantly back in 2017 under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So the married filing jointly standard deduction is now $29,200. So you have to have that many deductions between state and local tax, mortgage interest, and your charitable giving, for example, as some of the categories, medical expenses could be another. You have to have over $29,000 of those expenses to benefit by itemizing those deductions. So what some of our givers do is they exceed that $29,000 by doing bunching, which means that rather than give $10,000 to charity this year and $10,000 next year, maybe they give $20,000 now, and then they don't give anything next year, and then they give another $20,000 the following year. That way they actually push their giving above that standard deduction. And you might say, well, then my organizations aren't getting money. This is where that donor advised fund comes into play again. Because if I give $20,000 to my donor advised fund here in December, I get that deduction this year. And then I can distribute the money out of my donor advised fund all throughout this year and next year, as long as I want, really. So I can spread out the actual distributions, but I get the deduction now. So again, what we're trying to do today is just plant seeds. The giving strategy for each family will be very different because every family has a different financial situation and different generosity goals. But hopefully this will just kind of plant the seed and open people's eyes to the opportunities that are out there to give wisely.
Very good. Well, we've been visiting with Brian Cochran with John Moore Associates, and we typically mention the Insights tab. Some of this information will be found there, Brian.
Yep, our blog post that went up this week on the 2nd addresses some of these topics, and we include some links to other areas that might be helpful. So we encourage you to visit it.
Yeah, free resource for you at johnmoore.com on the Insights tab. Looking forward to the other topics we'll cover as we head towards 2025 and things to consider financially as we approach the end of the year. Brian, thanks for your time, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.